Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
Today, Wednesday, December 8th, is the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And these are today's headlines. Pope Francis encourages the faithful to imitate Mary's humility on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. Olaf Scholz faces significant challenges as he is sworn in as Germany's new chancellor. And Caritas Internationalis continues its 70th anniversary celebrations, looking at the work of Caritas Asia. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells. Our top story, making a private act of devotion early this morning, Pope Francis visited the Column of the Immaculate Conception in Rome's Piazza di Spagna. The Pope canceled the traditional public visit on the Solemnity due to the ongoing COVID pandemic. During his private visit this morning, the Holy Father prayed especially for those who are sick and suffering, as Father Benedict Maiocchi reports.
On Wednesday morning, just before 6:15 a.m., while it was still dark and the city of Rome was just beginning to wake up, Pope Francis went to Piazza di Spagna for a private act of veneration to Our Lady on the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception, liturgically celebrated on the 8th of December by the Church. A statement by the Holy See Press Office said that the Holy Father placed a bouquet of white roses at the base of the column where the statue of the Madonna is, and he turned to Our Lady in prayer, asking for her intercession for the miracle of a cure for the many sick and for healing for people suffering from wars and the climate crisis. Pope Francis also prayed for conversion to melt the hearts of stone of those who build walls to separate themselves from the pain of others. Afterwards, the Pope left the piazza and went to the Basilica of St. Mary Major, where he prayed before an icon of Maria Salus Popoli Romani before returning to the Vatican. For 2 years in a row, Pope Francis has made a private act of veneration to Our Lady instead of the Roman tradition of a public gathering at the Spanish steps to mark the solemnity. The Holy See Press Office announced on the 27th of November that the decision was made to avoid the formation of a crowd and the risk of spreading the COVID-19 virus. The decision to avoid the public visit also came after the Italian government unveiled further COVID-19 restrictions effective from the 6th of December. For many years, the popes have had a tradition of making the trip from the Vatican to Rome's Piazza di Spagna on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, which celebrates the singular grace and privilege by which the Most Blessed Virgin Mary, in the first instant of her conception, in view of the merits of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the human race, was preserved from all stain of original sin. The dogma of the Immaculate Conception was believed by the Church from the very beginning, but was only formally defined in 1854 by Pope Pius IX. In 1857, a commemorative column was raised in Piazza Mignanelli, close to the Spanish Steps in Rome. The tradition of the Pope visiting the square on the feast dates back to 1953. I'm Father Benedict Maiocchi.
Later in the morning at the Midday Angelus, Pope Francis urged the faithful to be like Mary in her humility and therefore her closeness to God. Francesca Merlo tells us more.
Addressing the faithful gathered in St. Peter's Square for the Angelus on the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Pope Francis turned to the day's liturgy, which brings us into the House of Nazareth, where she receives the angel's Annunciation. Within intimate domestic walls, the Pope noted, the Gospel gives us a detail that reveals the beauty of Mary's heart. Pope Francis noted that the angels refer to Mary as being full of grace. If this is true, continued the Pope, it means that she is void of evil, she is without sin, she is immaculate. The Pope noted that Mary is troubled at the angel's greeting. Receiving grand greetings, honours and compliments sometimes brings the risk of provoking pride and presumption, said the Pope, adding that Jesus is not gentle with those who go in search of greetings, adulation and visibility. Mary does not exalt herself as the angel's greeting seemed too grand for her. That humility attracts God's eyes, explained the Pope. In this scenario we see a marvellous characteristic of Mary's heart. She does not lay claim to anything, explained the Pope, for in her humility she knows she receives everything from God. In this manner, the Pope continued, free from herself, she is completely directed towards God and others. This is true humility, said the Pope. Pope Francis went on to note the importance of the declaration being made within the walls of a house and not in a main square. In that little house of Nazareth beat the greatest heart that any creature has ever had, said the Pope. He explained that within these humble walls, God changed history, and that even today, God's grace loves to operate there more than in great historical events. Bringing his reflection to an end, Pope Francis invited all those listening to ask the Madonna for the grace, that she free us from the misleading idea that the gospel is one thing and life is another, and that she enkindle enthusiasm in us for the ideal of sanctity, which has nothing to do with holy cards and pictures. Instead, he said, sanctity or holiness is about living humbly and joyfully what happens each day, freed from ourselves, with our eyes fixed on God and the neighbour we meet. Let us not lose heart, concluded the Pope, for no one who asked for her help has ever been abandoned. I'm Francesca Merlo.
Following the recitation of the Angelus, Pope Francis thanked God for his recent pilgrimage to Cyprus and Greece and expressed his gratitude to all those who accompanied him with prayer, as well as to the peoples of the two beloved countries, including civil and religious authorities, for the affection and kindness with which they welcomed him. Reflecting on the first leg of his journey, the Holy Father described Cyprus as a pearl of the Mediterranean, a pearl of rare beauty that nonetheless bears the wounds of barbed wire, the pain of a wall that divides it. He said he felt like part of a family in Cyprus, noting especially his meeting with Cypriot Orthodox primate Chrysostomus II. Pope Francis said all Christians are children of the Church of Christ, which accompanies us, protects us, makes us move forward, brothers all. The Pope expressed once again his hope that Cyprus would be a laboratory of fraternity where everyone, but especially the poor, the discarded, and migrants can be welcomed. Pope Francis also recalled with gratitude the fraternal welcome he received in Greece.
Ad Atene ho sentito di essere immerso nella grandezza della storia.
In Athens, he said, I felt immersed in the greatness of history, in the memory of Europe, thinking especially of humanism, democracy, wisdom, faith. The Pope pointed as well to his experience of the mystique of the whole, as he met with Catholic bishops and members of the Catholic community, especially during Mass on Sunday in Athens. And he recalled the gift of embracing Orthodox Greek primate Hieronymus in reciprocal visits during the journey. I cherish this fraternity in my heart, the Pope said, while entrusting to the Holy Mother of God the many seeds of encounter and hope that the Lord scattered on this pilgrimage. Pope Francis asked for continued prayers that those seeds might continue to germinate and flourish in trust. Turning now to world news, center-left leader Olaf Scholz has been sworn in as Germany's ninth chancellor since World War II. The new chancellor is facing significant challenges, as Stefan Boss reports.
Europe's largest economy and one of its most populous nations entered a new era Wednesday after Angela Merkel's 16 years in power. Olaf Scholz's government takes office in Germany with promises to tackle what it views as dangerous climate change and other reforms. Yet the new chancellor's abilities will be tested as he governs a country facing its most challenging phase yet of the coronavirus pandemic. Additionally, the United States has reportedly pressured Germany to halt its lucrative Nord Stream 2 natural gas pipeline project with Russia if it invades Ukraine. But Scholz hopes enough lawmakers support him to lead his country of 80 million people through turbulent times.
Mit Ja haben gestimmt 395 Abgeordnete.
Lawmakers voted by 395 to 303 with six abstentions to elect the 63-year-old Scholz. That was a comfortable majority, but less than the 416 seats his three-party coalition holds in the 736-seat lower house of parliament. Merkel, who is no longer a member of parliament, looked on from the spectators' gallery as parliament voted. Lawmakers gave her a standing ovation. Scholz's three-party coalition portrays itself as a progressive combination of former rivals offering new energy to the country after Merkel's near-record time in office. besides tackling the coronavirus pandemic, the Social Democrats, Greens and the Free Democrats have put climate change among their top priorities for the coming years. For Vatican Radio, I am Stefan Bos, reporting.
And Caritas Internationalis, the confederation of more than 160 Catholic relief, development, and social service organizations, which works in over 200 countries and territories worldwide, turns 70 on Sunday, this coming 12th of December. To mark seven decades of its service, Caritas Internationalis held a series of seven regional or continental webinars. The last of these online seminars, held on Tuesday, was dedicated to Caritas Asia. Addressing the participants, Caritas Internationalis Secretary General Aloysius John commended Caritas Asia for its witness to charity, dialogue, and harmony between people of different religions.
Caritas Asia has always been one of the regions which works in high diverse religious, social, cultural, and economic context, witnessing love and concern of the church for the poor without any distinction of religion or caste. The region has been confronted with many disasters on a regular basis, and Caritas Asia in Asia have been responding effectively and efficiently to all these disasters. One of the major disasters that Caritas responded with efficiency was the tsunami catastrophe in 2004. And I still remember how universal solidarity was at work and how Caritas was able to build better and give hope to one part of the humanity which was affected by such a major disaster. One of the important lessons of this disaster response was how the work of charity could become a basis for dialogue and how it could make a community resilient, and Caritas was there in the front line. In many parts of Asia, member organizations are also implementing development projects, which are means of maintaining life dialogue at the level of the communities, bringing together different members of different religions through different projects. Thus, Caritas contributes to dialogue and social harmony through these projects. And some of the projects I visited in Pakistan were very exemplary, wherein Hindus, Christians, and Muslims were able to work together towards social harmony. And I still remember there was a program called Social Harmony Program. I also want to place on record the biggest contribution of Caritas Asia in the area of disaster risk reduction. On behalf of the Confederation, I want to thank Caritas Asia for your contribution to witnessing the work of charity, which contributes to dialogue between people of different religions, thus creating social harmony at a time when people are trying to divide, using religions, divide nations and people.
And that was Caritas Internationalis Secretary General Aloysius John speaking about Caritas Asia. And that brings us just about to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, we invite you to visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va, where you can also find all our broadcasts in podcast form. Also, don't forget to follow us on our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram accounts. Many thanks to our producers and technicians in studio in the Vatican. I'm Christopher Wells.